This is A Course in Miracles. It is your path of enlightenment. It is your journey without distance in the space of an instant of reality. It is a required course. Only the time you take it is voluntary. Free will does not mean that you can establish the curriculum. It means only that you can elect what you want to take at a given time. This course does not aim at teaching the meaning of love, for that is beyond what can be taught. It does aim, however, at removing the blocks to the awareness of love's presence, which is your natural inheritance. The opposite of love is fear, but what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. This Course in Miracles can therefore be summed up very simply in this way. Nothing real can be threatened. Nothing unreal exists. When you are fearful, you are non-existent. In truth, this fearful world does not exist at all. Herein lies the peace of God. This Course in Miracles presents the inevitable possibility of the eternal singular reality of life, of which each of us will forever be a complete and whole part. Now to the practice of the transformation of your mind. This, the workbook of A Course in Miracles. A theoretical foundation, such as was presented in the text, is necessary as a framework to make the exercises that we now intend to begin meaningful. Yet it is doing the exercises that will make the goal of the course possible. An untrained mind can accomplish nothing. This workbook, this provision of training that you are undertaking, is divided into two main sections. First, we're going to deal with the undoing of the way that you see now, and second, with the acquisition of true perception. Here is our purpose. The purpose in what we will perform on this video and in this workbook is to train your mind in a systematic way to a different perception of everyone and everything in the world. Listen. Transfer of training in true perception does not proceed as does transfer of the training of the world. If true perception has been achieved in connection with any person, situation, or event, total transfer to everyone and everything is certain. On the other hand, one exception held apart from true perception makes its accomplishment anywhere impossible. The very nature of true perception is that it has no limits. It is the opposite of the way that you see now. In this practice that we are about to begin, some of the lessons you will find hard to believe, and others may seem to be quite startling. This does not matter. You are merely asked to apply the ideas as you are directed to do. You are not asked to judge them at all. You are asked only to use them. It is their use that will give them meaning to you and will show you that they are true. Remember only this. You need not believe the ideas. You need not accept them, and you need not even welcome them. Some of them you may actively resist. None of this will matter or decrease their efficacy. The only thing we ask is that you don't make any exceptions on a moment-by-moment basis as you apply these lessons of this Course in Miracles. Here now begins the mind training. So it's the continuation of the practice of A Course in Miracles, a required course to bring about a change in what you thought you were. And the evidence is beginning to increase with you about the possibility of an alternative that's going to give you a great deal of happiness. I'm known as an advanced teacher because the provisions by which I offer you the truth of me have come about by an experience that offers me a continuing, joyful, and happy reassociation with the universe, of which at this moment you are not participating in. What we want to do here now, because there's so much conversion going on, ideas that you could actually, through a training method, okay, looking around and saying to yourself, no, this is not a real world. No, I don't have to suffer pain and death and unhappiness if I don't want to. No, the decision not to suffer is mine to make is beginning to gain momentum. Do you know why? It's inevitable. The truth of the matter is, if you begin to even entertain the idea that what I am telling you is true, it cannot not make you happy. Shall we try it? There isn't any world. You don't have to get sick. You don't have to die. And you don't have to lose the things you love. Is that exciting to you? No, it's not to you. I'm looking at you right there. You're going like this. Well, what the hell is this guy talking about? He certainly can't have anything to do with what I'm doing. I don't have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with what you're processing in your conceptual mind now whatsoever. In a literal sense, there isn't any world. In a literal sense, you're not confined to this little space-time episode that has demonstrated unhappiness and pain and death and loneliness, and I'm with you right now. You don't want to hear this, do you? You want to hear it or not? If you want to hear it, I'm going to offer it to you. I'm in the middle of your dream of pain and death telling you it's not true, okay? This world is not where you're from. And that should begin to make you very happy, and what a surprise. The simple lesson that you, there, are whole and perfect as God created you, that can be had through a simple experience of an admission, of an alternative, that while not of this world, can be demonstrated in this world because of the power that is innate in you, both as a separate consciousness and as a whole reality that you cannot not be. So in this Course in Miracles training, these are going to be lessons 101, 102, and 103, and they're going to emphasize happiness. Okay? We're going to begin with a very fundamental admission. I want you to repeat this with me. Will you do it? Say, not here, just there. Say to me, you, I'm not a body. I didn't hear it. Say, I'm not a body. I'm free. Go ahead. What have you got to lose? Say, I'm free. I'm still as God created me. I can't suffer. I can't get sick. And I can't die. Just as a quick review to remind you, in case you have never heard of A Course in Miracles, which is nothing but an attempt to show you the inevitable alternative that's available to you in the kingdom of God, as described by my Savior Jesus Christ, tolerate my uncompromising recognition that you can see as I am seeing right now. Let's take a quick look at the first three lessons of the workbook of A Course in Miracles. Watch. So let's begin this mind training now with lesson number one, which says, everything I see is meaningless. Nothing I see in this room, on this street, from this window, or in this place means anything. Now look around you and let's begin immediately to practice what we're going to say. This table doesn't mean anything. This chair doesn't mean anything. This hand that I'm looking at, my hand, means nothing. My foot doesn't mean anything. This pen on the table doesn't mean anything. This lesson doesn't mean anything. Now let's look just a little further out away from us. Not immediately here, but in a more distant perspective. That door over there doesn't mean a thing. This body doesn't mean anything. That lamp doesn't mean anything. That sign over there, that didn't mean anything. That shadow doesn't mean a thing. Here you are walking around saying nothing means anything. Notice that these statements are not arranged in any order and make no allowance for differences in the kind of things to which they're applied. This is the purpose of the exercise. The statement should merely be applied to anything you see. As you practice the idea for the day, use it totally indiscriminately. Do not attempt to apply it to everything you see, for these exercises should not become ritualistic. Only be sure that nothing you see is specifically excluded. One thing is like another as far as the application of the idea for today is concerned. The reason for that is very simply that nothing you see really means anything. Now let's go on to number two. I have given everything I see in this room or on this street or from this window or in this place all of the meaning that it has for me. The exercises with this idea are the same as those for the first one. Begin with the things that are near you and apply the idea to whatever your glance rests on. Then increase the range outward. Turn your head so that you include whatever is on either side. If possible, turn around and apply the idea to what was behind you. Remain as indiscriminate as possible in selecting subjects for its application. Do not concentrate on anything in particular, and do not attempt to include everything you see in a given area, or you'll introduce strain. Remember, you've given everything you see all the meaning that it has. Glance around easily, fairly quickly. Try to avoid selection by size, brightness, color, material, or relative importance to you. Take the subject simply as you see them. Try to apply the exercises with equal ease to a body or a button or a fly or a floor, an arm or an apple. The sole criteria for applying the idea to everything is merely that your eye has lighted on it. Make no attempt to include anything particularly, but be sure that nothing is specifically excluded. So you have the lesson number two. You have given everything that you see all the meaning that it has. Now listen, lesson number three. I do not understand anything that I see in this room or on this street or in this window or in this place. In fact, I don't really understand anything that I see anywhere. Apply this idea in the same way as the previous ones without making distinctions of any kind. Whatever you see becomes a proper subject for applying the idea. Be sure that you do not question the suitability of anything for application of the idea. These are not exercises in judgment, and anything that you see is suitable. Some of the things you see may have emotionally charged meaning to you. Try to lay such feelings aside and merely use these things exactly as you would anything else. The point of the exercise is to help you clear your mind of all past associations to see things exactly as they appear to you right now and to realize how little you really understand about them. It is therefore essential that you keep a perfectly open mind, unhampered by judgment, in selecting the things to which the idea for the day is to be applied. For this purpose, one thing is like another, equally suitable and therefore equally useful. Just keep an open mind and admit that you do not understand anything that you see. You turned me off? I bet you did. Watch 'em. watch, we call them dead ones. Will you tolerate me for a minute? This is from Jesus Christ, who says, you're dead. We teach that you're coming to life, and that what you thought was life, and I'm looking right at you right now, was not life. The requirements were, first of all, that you admit that somewhere there was an alternative contained within your own mind, because as a member of the human species, you have been looking for joy and happiness. Second, okay, my admonition to you through my Savior Jesus, that your solution cannot be found in attacking and defending yourself from the pain and death that you feel in this association. Maybe we're past that now. Maybe you're at the point where the essence of happiness can be demonstrated to you in the joy of a moment, of an experience, of a complete alternative. Okay? What we're going to do is we're going to go back and review just for a moment the lesson number 100. That if you go along with me with this, suddenly is going to give you so much joy in the idea that you can actually be who you really are. You want to share something with me? You know what your fear was? Of being who you really are. Come on, I'm looking right at you for a minute. Old one? Sick one? Huh? One possessed by the idea that you can lose and must attack and sacrifice? Have you looked around and see what this world is doing to you? Would you like to be certain through my mind that your function represented here, both by your separation and by the truth of you, is to have this experience of joy that shows you you're not from here? Say that to me, I'm curious. Say to me, I'm not from here. No, once more, I'm not from here. Huh, do you see me now? I'm a reflection of your conceptual mind telling you that you're not from here. Okay. The thing that you had to remember from me is that you can't exclude your painful death wish contained within you from who you really are. If you try to do that, you're going to lay the blame on who's ever out there for all the pain that you're experiencing. Your fundamental acceptance that you're the cause of this world and that it's not real and has nothing to do with the real you can show you the joy that your sole purpose for being here is to represent to the universe the entirety of the certainty of who you are. Just for a minute, let's go back just for a minute and take a look at lesson 100 of this mind training of the Course. Watch. Let's try it just for a minute. My part is essential to God's plan for salvation. Just as God's Son completes His Father, so your part in it completes your Father's plan. Salvation must reverse the mad belief in separate thoughts and separate bodies, which lead separate lives and go their separate ways. One function shared by separate minds unites them to one purpose, for each one of them is equally essential to them all. Are you listening to this? God's will for you is perfect happiness. Why should you choose to go against His will? The part that He has saved for you to take in working out His plan is given you that you might be restored to what He wills. This part is an essential to His plan as to your happiness. Your joy must be complete to let His plan be understood by those to whom He sends you. They will see their function in your shining face and hear God calling to them in your happy laugh. Listen, you are indeed essential to God's plan. Without your joy, His joy is incomplete. Did you hear that? Without your joy, your source of reality, God, is incomplete. Without your smile, the world cannot be saved. While you are sad, the light that God Himself appointed as the means to save the world is dim and lusterless, and no one laughs because all laughter can but echo your own. So if you want to laugh with me just for a moment about this lesson, go ahead, because this is where your solution is going to lie. Listen. you are indeed essential to God's plan. Just as your light increases every light that shines in heaven, so your joy on earth calls to all minds to let their sorrow go and take their place beside you in God's plan. God's messengers are joyous, and their joy heals sorrow and despair. They are the proof that God wills perfect happiness for all who will accept their Father's gifts as theirs. We'll not let ourselves be sad today, for if we do, we fail to take the part that is essential to God's plan as well as to our own vision. Sadness is the sign that you would play another part instead of what has been assigned to you by God. Thus do you fail to show the world how great the happiness that He wills for you, and so you do not recognize that it is yours. Today, we're going to attempt to understand joy is our only reason for being here. If you are sad, your part is unfulfilled, and all the world is thus deprived of joy along with you. God asks you to be happy so the world can see how much He loves His Son and wills no sorrow rises to abate His joy. No fear besets Him to disturb His peace. You are God's messenger today. You bring His happiness to all you look upon. His peace to everyone who looks on you and sees His message in your happy face. Now let's try to find that joy that proves to us and all the world that God's will is what you are. It is your function that you find it here, and that you find it when? Now, for this you came. Let this one be the day that you succeed. Listen, look deep within you, undismayed by all the little thoughts and foolish goals you pass as you ascend to meet the Christ in you. You'll be there, and you can reach Him now. What could you rather look upon in place of Him who waits that you may look on Him? What little thought has power to hold you back? What foolish goal can keep you from success when He who calls to you is God Himself? Listen, He will be there. You are essential to His plan. You are His messenger today, and you must find what He would have you give. Do not forget the idea for today, because your hourly practice periods must include the idea that yourself is the Savior of the world. It is yourself who calls to you today, and it is Him you answer. Every time you tell yourself you are essential to God's plan for the salvation of the world. So you're essential to God's plan. Huh? Did you hear the music that we put in there on that lesson? I want to be happy, but I can't be happy till I make you happy too. Did you pick that? Life's really worth giving. Life's really worth living when you are mirth given. That's the whole teachings of everything I've ever offered you. What a rhyme, huh? Life is really worth living when you are mirth given. Why can't I give some to you? The essence of the teaching is that we can share happiness. And the truth of the matter is we're not able to share pain and sorrow, even though we make every attempt we can within our own minds to do it. Depending on then the idea that you could be sinful and separate from God, you eke out a little happiness in regard to the solutions that you find, okay, in your complete attempt to deny to yourself your true reality. This is the entire teachings of this message to you. I'm looking at you right now, and I'm saying to you the responsibility for the salvation of this world, you just saw this video, is up to you, because you are the cause of this world. When you are unhappy and attempt to share happiness in unhappiness, you literally are justifying the pain and death of this world, and you're determined to hold on to it within your own mind. Yet your function is to be happy, because happiness is what you are. So lessons 101, 102, and 103 are going to remind you that happiness is the essence of your reality. The rejection that I'm experiencing from you right there, is going to be contained in lesson 101. Because your conceptual mind is setting terms by which you are determined to attempt to understand what I'm telling you. You want to go to the essence of this theology? Shall I do it for you? There's no such thing as separation from God. You're not going to like that. I mean, I guarantee you won't like lesson 101 if I read it to you. If your sole reason for being alive in the universe is to be happy and to offer to creation the totalness of yourself in your own mind, why would you persist in the idea that you're separate and justify the sin of your separation? The simple truth of the matter is that there is a whole loving, eternally creating God. This place is absolutely impossible, because this place is absolutely impossible. The solution then has to be that you are contained in separation in your own mind and are demonstrating your capacity to be unhappy and sinful and separate from God, and have miscreated around you a world that justifies in your mind the condition in which you find yourself. I know you're rejecting it. Can I tell you something there? You, unhappy one, that's why you're here. Huh? You know why you pretend to be happy here? You don't think there's any alternative. You actually believe in this pitiful little idea about yourself that you have to be unhappy and suffer and lose the things in order to eke out a little existence of happiness, in a complete denial of the inevitability that you are perfect as God created you. From my Savior, Jesus Christ, that all power is given unto you in heaven and earth. What could make you more happy? You then assume the function of the completion of your own mind. Do you object to my theology? You are the rejection to my theology. If there's a whole true loving universe, or even a whole true unloving universe, you cannot not be a part of it. But the idea that you would be part of a whole unloving doesn't make any sense, because the idea of being unloving is what loving is. The association of pain and death with joy and happiness is insane and doesn't make any sense. And I began to teach a little bit because I want you to listen and share with me lesson 101 in this training, because it's going to deny that this world is real. Remember what we showed you? No matter how you are constituted in the arrangement of your own mind, you could not begin to experience with me right now the happiness of the release of your necessity to defend yourself in this sinful, sick place. And it includes the admission that all of the pain and death, both of you and of this world, is contained only in you. Let's look together then at lesson 101. Watch. All right, here we go. God's will for me is perfect happiness. God wills that I be happy. This is a key idea in understanding what salvation means. You still believe it asks for suffering as penance for your sins. This isn't so. Yet you must think it is so while you believe that sin is real and that God's Son can actually be sinful. Listen. If sin is real, then punishment is just and can't be escaped. You ought to be able to see that. Salvation thus cannot be purchased but through suffering. If sin is real, then happiness must be an illusion, for they cannot both be true. The sinful warrant only death and pain, and it is this they ask for they know it waits for them, and it will seek them out and find them somewhere, sometime, in some form that evens the account that they owe to God. Are you listening to this? They would escape him in their fear, and yet he will pursue, and they cannot escape. Listen, if sin is real, salvation must be pain. Do you ever see how they hung my Savior Jesus up on the cross and crucified him through sacrifice and then say that's what God wants them to do? This is absurd. Pain is the cost of sin, and suffering can never be escaped if sin is real. Salvation must be feared, for it will kill, but slowly, taking everything away before it grants the welcome boom of death to victims who are little more than bones before salvation is appeased. Its wrath is boundless, merciless, but wholly just. Who would seek out such savage punishment? Who would not flee salvation and attempt in every way he can to drown the voice which offers it to him? Why would he try to listen and accept its offering? If sin is real, its offering is death, and meted out in cruel form to match the vicious wishes in which sin is born. If sin is real, salvation has become your bitter enemy, the curse of God upon you who has crucified his Son. Are you listening to this? You need to practice today. The exercises teach sin is not real, and all that you believe must come from sin will never happen, for it has no cause. Accept atonement with an open mind, which cherishes no lingering belief that you have made a devil of God's Son. Listen, there is no sin. We practice with this thought as often as we can today because it is the basis for today's idea. God's will for you is perfect happiness because there is no sin and suffering is causeless. Joy is just and pain is but the sign you have misunderstood yourself. Fear not the will of God, but turn to it in confidence that it will set you free from all the consequences sin has wrought in feverish imagination. Say with me now, God's will for me is perfect happiness. There is no sin and it has no consequences. Okay, let's practice that just for another moment now. Today we can escape from the madness of this world, because the madness of this world was only in your own mind. You are set on freedom's road, and now today's idea brings wings to speed you on and hope to go still faster to the waiting goal of peace. Listen, there is no sin. Let's remember that together now. God's will for me is perfect happiness. This is the truth because there is no sin. Are you ready to hear that? Did you hear that? God's will for me is perfect happiness because there is no sin. This would seem to be a theological contradiction to the entire Christian establishment, which it is. The idea that Jesus Christ of Nazareth said that you would have to suffer pain and death in order to come home with him is totally ridiculous. What he offered you was the certainty of your own whole mind in the dedication that it was possible for you, through acceptance of his fundamental teaching of love and forgiveness, to leave this place of death. That's as far as I'm going to go with the theology of your belief. And I'm not talking about the study of truth in relationship with religion. I'm talking about the study of truth in relationship to what you believe as a conceptual mind is necessary for you to exist and be happy. There is no question that you believe in the idea that it's necessary for you to exchange some forms of happiness or pain for other forms of happiness and pain. And that's precisely why you are here. Because it is God's will only that you be happy. Are you going to accept that from me right now? You want to practice that for a minute? Okay. The uncompromising position that is taken in this offering to you, okay, is the solution to your problem. You could throw out everything I've ever said to you, and I could begin to reason to your mind the idea that if there is a whole singular reality, this is not what it is. And if there is a whole eternal life that extends forever, this is not it. And therefore, this is not real. Now, that allows you to begin to accept the fundamental certainty that the solution is in you. And what are you going to feel? You're going to begin to feel the practice of the release of the necessity for you to justify this world. Your function here, the one that you've accepted because you're listening to this video, is to accept, through the will of God, a continuing happiness that offers you a solution not based on your need to justify sin and separation. Because any justification for the idea of time or space would have to deny you access to the entirety of the solution. Okay? So God's will for you is complete happiness. Let's take a look then at the idea, since we have included ourselves in with the inevitability of the necessity for us to change our mind. Let's take a look just for a second at lesson 102. Watch. Let's look at 102 together and let's see if I can get you to admit what we're talking about here. I share God's will for happiness for me. You ready? You really don't want to suffer. You may think it buys you something and may still believe a little that it buys you what you want. That's not true. Yet this belief is surely shaken now, at least enough to let you question it and to suspect it really makes no sense. It has not gone as yet, but lacks the roots maybe that once secured it tightly in the dark and hidden secret places of your mind. Come on, get with me with this. Either you're totally whole together in heaven or you're totally separate and back here. Can you get this? Listen to what this says. Today, we try to loose its weakened hold still further and to realize that pain is purposeless, without a cause and with no power to accomplish anything. It cannot purchase anything at all. You can put Jesus Christ of Nazareth on the cross for the next 1,000 years, and it will prove absolutely nothing, because he is risen from the dead and is offering you, at most, an empty cross. You want to get with me with this? I'm offering you salvation, not another crucifixion of human sacrifice in order to justify this place of death. You ever look at this place? It's human sacrifice. You even sacrifice yourself. That's why you get old and die. The choice you make to get old and die is a sacrifice that you think you have to make in order to appease this vicious God that you think is a part of you. Now I'm going to go back to the reading. Listen. It offers nothing and does not exist, and everything it offers you is lacking in existence like itself. You have been a slave to nothing. Be you free today to join the happy will of God. Right now, beginning right now, and for several days now, from the time you leave this video, begin to practice reaching the happiness that God has placed for you. Here is your home, and here your safety lies. Here is your peace, and here there is no fear. Why? Here is salvation. Here is rest at last in your own mind. I share God's will for happiness for me, and I accept it as my function now. Then, listen, seek this function deep within your mind, for it is there, awaiting but your choice. You cannot fail to find it when you learn it is your choice and that you share God's will. So be happy, for your only function here is happiness. You have no need to be less loving to God's Son than he whose love created him as loving as himself. So we want to practice today the whole idea that we share God's will for happiness for us, and that we're going to accept it as the only reason that we would be here. Relieving you of the burden of being sinful and separate for no reason whatsoever is the struggle that goes on in your conceptual mind, because you have relinquished the idea of the power that you actually have to decide what you want to be in relationship to what you think you are. Could you get that with me? All forms of fear are demonstrations of lack of power. And you right there, I'm watching you, you're going, oh, this guy is ridiculous. What he says couldn't possibly be true. All you're saying to me is he'd rather be here and die and be a body than believe me. I'm offering you all the power of the universe, and that will make you happy because it's what happiness is. The will of God and the power of God to create in reality is what we're sharing through the forgiveness of the necessity that somebody is guilty for this. If nobody is guilty whatsoever, you can't struggle with it. You turned me off already? Of course you did. Everyone here turns me off. But there isn't everyone here, there's only you. And if there's only you in your own mind, the solution can be evident to you because it's contained in what you are. And all of that power has been given to you. I'm going to show you a one-minute vignette, a one-minute segment of what I'm actually saying about the power of your own mind. It's lesson 152. And I'm going to put onto the screen exactly what I'm saying to you now. Watch this. You ready? The power of decision is yours. No one can suffer loss unless it be his own decision. No one suffers pain except his choice elects this state for him. Listen, no one can grieve, nor fear, nor think him sick unless these are the outcome that he wants. Listen, and no one dies without his own consent. Nothing occurs but represents your wish. And nothing is omitted that you choose. Here is your world complete in all details. Here is its whole reality for you, and it is only here that salvation is. Did you see that? Can you see the basis for my offering to you using the power of my mind, which is yours? I'm offering you the inevitability of happiness because that's what you are. Okay? Should we try it once more now? Is it everything? You're beginning to have this experience? Say to me, I'm not a body. I didn't hear it. I'm not a body. Huh? You think I'm a body? Do you think that the mind that I'm offering you is actually concerned about this old carcass that you think is me because you think you're an old carcass? That's nonsense. That's not what you are. I am free. I'm still as God created me. I'm sharing with you the certainty of my mind. Now, you say, aha, but I got you. You're occupying a body. No, I'm not. No. At no single moment does the body exist at all. This is the whole idea of training your mind to a new way to view what appears to be out there. If the whole association of space-time is changing each moment, except that you hold that funny little old body in a static condition and allow it to cause you pain, it could not possibly do so. What is going to make you more unhappy than the idea that you're actually confined to that flesh and bone? It's not true, and it's not who you are. And I know that most of you are already gone, and I'm not concerned about most of you. I'm concerned about you. You're the one who has been willing to sit with me as I offer you all the happiness that you're willing to accept in my certainty that you, as a conceptual identity locked in this place of time, actually do not exist at all. Not only is that true, but you are the cause of all the pain that causes you to represent yourself as a body. It's not real and it's not true. It's also impossible that I am not a product and substance of your own mind offering you the alternative. In a very literal sense, I am you. I cannot not be you. This from our Savior Jesus, who says, I am you. I'm going to represent your entirety, but I must show you, okay, that who you really are is not a product of your need to remain here and suffer and get old and sick and die. I know you don't like it, but you are not guilty of anything. Doggone it. If you're guilty, God must be to blame for your guilt because there is only God. If you're not guilty, you can share in the love of God. What a theology. Now, to my mind, that seems very certain and easy. To your mind, it's beginning to get simpler and simpler, very simply because you're beginning to have an experience of who you really are. Now, what we just talked about is going to be in the next lesson, isn't it? Let's take a look together at lesson 103. Watch. So let's look at 103 real quick, because love and happiness are actually the same. Happiness is an attribute of love. It cannot be apart from it, nor can it be experienced where love is not. Love has no limits, being everywhere. And therefore, joy is everywhere as well. Yet can your human mind deny that this is so, believing there are gaps in love where sin can enter, bringing pain instead of joy? This strange belief would limit happiness by redefining love as limited and introducing opposition in what has no limit and no opposite. Fear is associated then with love, and its results become the heritage of minds that think what they have made is real. These images, with no reality in truth, bear witness to the fear of God. Forgetting being love, he must be joy. This basic error he will try again to bring to truth today, and to teach ourselves that God being love is also happiness. To fear him is to be afraid of joy. Well, allow this correction now to come into your mind and welcome the whole idea that God being love is also happiness. And it is happiness I seek today, and then I cannot fail because I seek for the truth. So we're back with the idea that you are faced with your fundamental rejection to the idea that love is all that God is. And, the admonitions that I discovered very early in my association as a human being, that somehow I was supposed to be afraid of God, made no sense to me by the time I was in adolescence. If I had a perfect God that created me holy, why would I have to fear him? What did he do, make me fearful? What did he do, challenge me with some evil force so that I could overcome something, so I could reach my own perfection? Excuse me. Okay. Fear God because that's what we are is one of the more absurd ideas, that the conceptual mind in space, okay, devises for itself in order to deny its total happiness. Okay? I hope you're beginning to have some experiences with me here. That's my whole offering. The fundamental fact of the matter is in the lesson we just had. I want you to be happy for no reason whatsoever. You struggle conceptually with the idea that it's necessary for you to define what happiness is. You do it by overcoming the sickness and pain that you believe is out there. Then you share these little pitiful moments that somehow you have succeeded in overcoming the fear of God. It's absurd, and it's ridiculous, and it's not real. Now, perhaps we can bring a little attack from the world on what I'm offering you. Perhaps somebody's going to now rise up and say, there, sitting there, is an association of mine that's daring to tell me there is no world, that's daring to tell me that I can't suffer pain, that I can't get sick, that I can't get old, and that I can't die. You want me to try it with you? I'm going to try it with you, body out there. You who are suffering, taking all of this medication, demanding the attention to your need to die. It's not so. Where am I? In your mind. Why am I in your mind? Everything's in your mind. There isn't anything outside of you. What I'm offering you, you cannot not already know. Can you see that? You cannot not know that I'm offering you total peace and happiness. Your problem has you thought it was out there. And by being out there, you became sinful, because being sinful is the idea of objective space-time. All you had to do is feel the power that I'm offering you in my mind, begin to experience the happiness that it's true. And what are we going to do? We're going to spring into heaven together. You want to spring into heaven with me right now? Is that too much to ask of you? Huh? Look at your alternative. Hey, out there, you? Go ahead, insist with me that you're going to get old and die and suffer and be laid down in a tomb and die. It's ridiculous. Huh? It's not true. The experience I'm offering you in your mind is a death experience. Why don't you experience it in your mind? You're dead anyway. Now you can look around and say, oh my God, I'm having another death experience. Now you're alive. Now I'm going to have another one. Now I'm alive. Now I'm having another one. Now I'm alive. What am I doing? I'm shortening the interval within your own conceptual mind when you choose to come here, spend another 1,000 years doing absolutely nothing. I'm literally collapsing time by offering you a distance between your cause and your effects that shows you that moment of wholeness in what you are. Okay? So these were what? The lessons of happiness. They were demonstrations that if you choose right at this moment, and I'm talking to you for a minute, if you want to stand up with me in your own mind, and as this video ends, and begin to walk around with the idea that you've established a new contact with God, that's what your happiness will be. It's a discovery of the inevitability of the immediacy of the solution to your problem. Most certainly, if what we say is true, and I assure you that it is, that the world you see out there is just a projection of the meaningless mind of you that's already gone, the place where that alternative can be offered you is here and now. And that's the joy that we're sharing together in this time and in this place. Let's practice it together just for a minute, should we? I'm going to look at you. And you're going to look at me, and you are going to believe that somehow I am a part of your association with yourself as you constituted yourself. And I'm going to say to you, no, that's not true. What I'm offering you is a revision of what you see out there in a discovery of a new purpose or reason why you would be here in your concepts at all. And that new purpose, okay, is a revolutionary idea of the inevitability of this metamorphosis. It has to occur because it did occur. The memory that I'm offering you in these lessons of eternal happiness are only to remind you that everything that you sought has actually already happened. So that as you live within the memory fabric of the idea that you are separate, the immediacy of the solution is always available to you. Remember, this old world was over and gone a long time ago. Yes, I am your thought that offers you joy and happiness from our single source of reality. Yes, I am denying this world. Yes, I am denying that you can get old and die. Yes, I am employing the power of my mind to heal you from the idea that you can actually suffer. Did you have that experience? You right there that were suffering from? You don't have to have it. Only if you give into body identity would you have to suffer from that. You then let the body tell you what you are and you get old and sick and die. It's not true. The lesson that will be coming up here in just a moment is that at 1 month, but the resolution that you found in your own mind and healing are actually the same idea, and that any single instant you may use the power of your mind in the declaration of your wholeness with God, and that the disease from which you suffer will disappear instantly, and is, by the thousands of reports we're getting about prayers that we behold as we were created are being answered around this universe. Why? Because you ask for it. The power of your mind to heal is innate in what you are, because all of that power is given to you. And with that power cannot not go the joy and happiness that you're experiencing right now with me. Thank you. Thank you for tolerating the uncompromising assertion of my mind that there is no world, and that that discovery is inevitable in you because you are the cause of this momentary dream of death. So this is the continuation of our Course in Miracles and the experience that you just had. Okay, probably shortened time for you at least 1,000 years. Remember the dealing with time always being over anyway? The resolution that's occurred to you has put you on a new track of continuity in time, where you will have a different purpose for being here. and suddenly remember the lesson, you can discover somebody else out there who is sharing a later time space date with you. And that's going to make you very joyous because of the inevitability of the conclusion that we're reaching. I do want you to be happy, okay? And I want to share that happiness with you. So we're going to say goodbye now to pain and death, and we're going to declare our determination to share in this alternative of joy that constitutes what we really are. This came about, okay, through our determination that somehow there had to be an alternative. You, okay, is this too simple for you, conceptual mind? What you fail to see is that your conceptual self is very active in a denial of the offering that I'm giving you of the truth of you. It would have to be, or you wouldn't be here. How long would it take you to ascend to heaven? This instant, if you choose to, by simply not enforcing the particulars that you see of you in your own mind. They would be instantaneous. These are all the videos that we have been providing. This is number 15. We hope that you'll share with us this course in mind training that's going to lead you, and did lead you, directly to the inevitability of our perfection and love together. That'll be our lesson for today. It says that God's will for you is perfect happiness, and it has absolutely nothing to do with what you think God is. And being afraid to use the name God really is meaningless to me if God is everything and that everything in the universe is only freedom and happiness. And while to your little conceptual mind that seems a panacea that's not obtainable, all I'm declaring to you is in that fostering of the little narrow arrangement of yourself, it is not obtainable. And your determination that it's not obtainable, okay, allows you to participate in the death ritual that somehow you can sacrifice something in order to retain this ridiculous identity. Those are strong words, aren't they? These are the strong words of my Savior, Jesus Christ, who says all of the power of the universe is given to you in the denial of death, in the certainty of His and our resurrection. So I'll be with you in the completion of the task that we share. And we will continue to exchange in the new miracle-mindedness that we have discovered, the realization that through the forgiveness of our need to sin, we recognize that sin is impossible. Thanks for sharing with me today. These are the lessons of the workbook of this Course in Miracles. These are moments of the entirety of the realization of a single you that allows us to share the certainty that the self that we have described in this training session is all there is in the universe. That self, right there, whether it be painful, lonely, and dead, or finding happiness in complete alternatives, is all that there is or will ever be in all of both space-time and in eternal. I'm glad you came into this segment of time with me. It was inevitable. All you have to do is let it happen. All you have to do now is say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." I'll be with you until this is over, because God goes with us wherever we go. God bless us. Everyone, be happy. It's easier than you think, okay? By not trying to figure out what you have to overcome to be happy, you'll discover that you are innately happy, and you begin to share that. Your old images begin to share it with you. The next thing you know, you'll spring out of here and be in heaven, which is actually where you are already. Yes, God bless us. Everyone.